So say that name with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it one more time. Jesus. There is indeed something about that name. Glad that you're here this morning. I guess we can take a head count, and that's who everybody set their clocks forward. So we're happy that you remembered. If you are visiting with us this morning, we hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. That's our number one goal, is that Christ would be here waiting for us when we come into this place. Hope you also feel the love of God's people in this place. I want to kind of take a second. Visitors, you can just put your fingers in your ears if you're visiting this morning. I want to talk to you regular attenders. You know, one of the things the gift that God has given us to share with others is the gift of hospitality. And so I just want to encourage you each Sunday to look for those. The easy thing is we kind of gravitate to who we know as people. That's just kind of instinctive in us. Look for those you don't know. And you never know. Maybe this is their first week, and maybe they've been coming for a year, and you just don't know them. But look for those you don't know, and let us be, I think we're good at this, I really do, but let us be a welcoming people, a welcoming church. So if you are visiting this morning, you can take your fingers out of your ears now, it's okay. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. And I encourage you and offer that to you. If you would like for us to know you were here, we would like to know you were here. You can register with us and just leave it in the seat there where you are. There's a place where you can leave an email. If you want to be on our email list, leave us your email and check the box that you'd like to be on our email list, and we will add you to that. And we do a lot of communicating in that fashion. So glad that you're here this morning. Is anybody else glad to be here? Are we glad to be here? Are we having a little spring forward blues here? Everybody kind of, maybe I need to go, boo, you know, something really kind of wake everybody up. But, all right, I guess I've already done that. Turn with me to Psalms 23. Psalm 23. We are in week 4 of a series that I'll talk about here in just a moment. But we will be covering two more today and two more weeks of Psalm 23. And we will be reading out of the New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that good news? Because the Lord is our shepherd, we don't have to want for anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Anybody else needed their soul restoring from time to time? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We talked last week that for his name's sake means for his glory. So that he might be glorified, he wants us to live a righteous life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody say amen. All right, let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit, if you're not here, we are just gathering together for social purposes. But when you're here, you have the words of life for us. So come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said just a moment ago, we're continuing in week 4 of the sermon series, Life Lessons for Sheep. Life Lessons for Sheep. Now, week 1 and 2 and 3, we covered the verse 1, 2, and 3. And the words that we studied, the words that we learned about was that God, is our good shepherd, is a shepherd of commitment. contentment. And he is also a good shepherd of peace, and he is also a good shepherd of purpose. He gives our life purpose. Now, today we're going to look at verse 4, and the shepherd provides confidence. We can be a confident people. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's verse 4 we'll be looking at today. Now, I've pointed out each week, and I'll point it out again. And if you like, I can bring back the Bob Our Lambs song next week, if you'd like that. Anybody been singing Bob Our Lambs? All right. Maybe it may be back by popular demand next week. Who knows? Psalm 23, David, the same David that we most of us learned about as little children, the David who slew Goliath, he was chosen as God's anointed king when he was a young boy, and he was a shepherd. And so he writes from the perspective of a sheep. Shepherding was in his blood. He understood that. So he writes from the perspective of a sheep. Now, I found this interesting as I kind of dug down a little deeper. Verse 1 through 3, which we just went through the last 3 weeks, David is speaking as a sheep talking to a fellow sheep. So sheep, it's kind of sheep to sheep, the first 3 verses. And then he's talking about this good shepherd, this shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's like he's speaking sheep to sheep. Now, what's interesting, in verse 4, the conversation turns. The conversation turns. It's now the sheep is talking to the shepherd, Jesus, God himself. So it goes from verse 1 through 3 that we've just covered, sheep to sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. He leads me. He restores me. So it's sheep to sheep. He's talking about the shepherd. But today, I will fear no evil because you, good shepherd, you are with me. So he's speaking directly to the shepherd. You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, we're going to dig down a little deeper into verse 4. So the first thing, verse 4 tells us that life is no picnic. I worked very hard on the theological wording of that. Life is no picnic. Is anybody experienced that? Yesterday, Cheryl and I drove to San Angelo. Clay and Amber, most of you know Clay and Amber. Clay and Amber are now married. They're husband and wife, by the way. Woo-hoo! They had planned on this big wedding. They had rented this facility out in Denton Valley. I forget what the name of that place is. But anyway, it was going to be this outdoor wedding, big, beautiful. Well, about a week or 10 days ago, Amber's dad, they found him passed out on the floor, and he has been struggling life and death for over a week in the hospital in San Angelo. And so they shifted gears, and they told me a couple of days ago, they said, hey, we're gonna go ahead and just have the wedding in the chapel at the hospital. And we're going to put Dad in a reclining chair, and we're going to roll him down into the chapel, and we're going to have the wedding there. So I thought, okay, we can do that. So we're planning to go. And Cheryl and I are literally in the truck getting ready to head that way yesterday afternoon, and I got a call from Clay and said, things have changed. Amber's dad coded this morning, and they've got him stable, and so we don't know what's going on. And I said, well, you want us to come? And he said, yeah, I'll start heading this way, and I'll call you if something changes. So we're 30 minutes out from San Angelo and get a call and said, he's stable. We're going to have the wedding in the room. So we had it's going in my journal someday, a book. We had a wedding in a hospital room. And it was kind of like, do you take? I mean, everybody's kind of like standing like this, shoulder deep. And here, this day of joy, I mean, it's like, this life is tough. It's no picnic. Stuff happens. Stuff happens. And it ended up being a joyous time. Her dad was doing well and was able to, he was very coherent and was able to say, when I said, who gives this woman? He was able to say, her mother and I. very distinctly and boldly, and it was a joyful moment for him to even be able to say that. So verse 1 through 3, as I said, it's sheep to sheep, and it's painting this rosy picture of life. But verse 4 turns the corner, and it begins the sheep talking to the shepherd, and it acknowledges, the sheep acknowledges, this life is tough. This life is tough. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, and yea is this word that, it, even though it means, it's not like if, it's not, it doesn't translate if, but even though, because I do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because this life is tough, I will fear no evil. I mean, it's like it's a present tense reality that we will walk through valleys. Anybody, am I relating to anybody? And I've been, each week I've kind of brought in different little facts from a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by a man named Philip Keller. And this man was a modern day shepherd and learned all kinds of things about sheep and relates it to Psalm 23. But one of the things that Keller talks about is that when he was a shepherd, he would, once the sheep had grazed off the fields down low, he would lead them up on the up the mountain, up the hill, through valleys. He said, me, the good shepherd, to these sheep, he said, I knew where the richest pastures were up the mountain. The problem is, to get there, that journey, he had to endure things like bad weather and poisonous plants and treacherous cliffs and wild animals and all sorts of things. You know, I didn't show this clip because, and quite honestly, it's pretty brutal to watch, but I ran across a National Geographic video clip a few years ago, and this mountain eagle, they hunt goats and sheep that are mountain sheep. And what they do is they look for them, and the eagle will swoop down, usually tries to find one that's isolated themselves. Or, hello, anybody listening? That's isolated themselves from the flock, and they'll go down, and it's usually one that seems vulnerable. Either they're sickly or they're young, and they'll come, and this eagle will just grab this sheep or goat, and they'll just start flying, and down the hill, and they'll, this is kind of graphic, kind of gross, but they'll let them go, and the sheep are killed on the cliffs below, and then it's supper time for the eagle. And it's like, we understand that there's treachery in going to the higher ground, but it's, we have to walk that path. We have to walk that path. It can be tough, but it's actually, for Keller points out, it was absolutely necessary for the health and maturity of his sheep that they had to walk through those valleys to get to rich pastures. Now, so I guess I'm going to stop just a second and ask, what do our valleys look like? I mean, man, like I said, this life, it's just being in ministry, you know, I'm talking to people all the time that are going through something. And it's so, I remember when I first began my ministry, I've told this story before, but the Lord, it was right after my brother was killed. And I remember, I was just, man, my heart was just broken, and I was just grieving. And it was just me and the Lord, and I was just crying out to him like, Lord, I'm just hurting. I'm hurting. And I really felt like the Lord was saying, you know, Jeff, there's hurting people everywhere. They're everywhere. They're all around you. Open your eyes and look. And he wanted me to, this, I had already been called to ministry, but I just knew that God was saying, you know what it's like to hurt. I want you to minister to hurting people because they're all over the place. What do our valleys look like? Death, especially tragic death, involving a loved one, sometimes even a child. Financial crisis, addictions, suicide, you know, even our youth struggle with thoughts of suicide. Did you know that? It's not like, you know, in my day, it's kind of like don't drink, don't smoke weed, and don't have sex. That was the message that's pretty much all youth needed to hear. Not today. It's a messy world, man. These kids are growing up in stuff. And when you hear a little seventh or eighth grader that's struggling with suicidal thoughts, you're going, what can be so wrong in the seventh grade? Life is tough. Valleys are real. Lost jobs, lost income, cancer or other health issues, different sorts of abuse, physical, emotional, sexual. I have friends with Stan Standridge, the chief of police, and, you know, in the old days we had stranger danger was the call. He said, that's not it anymore, because the danger lives in the house with you for these children. Loneliness, broken relationships, divorce, on and on. It's just our valleys are real, and God is telling us, David's crying out to his good shepherd, and he's saying, even though I walk through this valley, it's not just talking about physical death, just the journey can be hazardous. And David said, even though I walk through this valley, I know you're with me. Valleys, I want you to, if you hadn't been listening, listen to this. Valleys are not a sign that God has abandoned you. They're not. So many times people think, because this, God must not love me because I'm going through this, whatever it is. It's not a sign that God has abandoned you, or that the Christian life simply doesn't work. Valleys are simply part of the human journey. And they also happen to be the best route to the mountaintop. I tell you, that many of the things I've gone through in my life are the things that have strengthened me and made me a better man, made me a better Christian, made me a better disciple, made me a better husband, made me a better father. So, yes, life is no picnic, but God, second thing, God walks with us. I love the passage that says that I will not leave you or forsake you, God says. He walks with us. I will fear, even though I've got to travel through these valleys, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You are my good shepherd, and you are with me, and I'm not walking through these valleys alone. That National Geographic video, if there had been a shepherd beside that sheep that the eagle was spotting, that eagle wouldn't even have bothered, because it probably would have got a stick upside the head coming for the sheep. You know, this word fear, I will fear no evil. You know, that can be a powerful word in people's lives. And I've said this before, I want to say it again. Fear is not from God. I won't let that sink in a second. Fear is not from God. It's from the enemy. The enemy wants to capture us in fear. He wants to hold us hostage in fear. I've talked with someone recently that talked about sometime they couldn't sleep because they were afraid what they were going to dream. And even when they did sleep, that they would wake up and sometimes they'd just be in cold sweats and they couldn't function because of fear from stuff in their past. And I want you to, we talked about this name earlier. I want you to remember a name. See if you can memorize this. Jesus. Can you memorize that name? Because there in the spiritual realm, there's power. It's not just some, you know, routine kind of thing. This is significant. There's power in the spiritual realm with that name. That song we sang, there's something about that name. There's power in the name of Jesus. And if you ever feel that fear overcoming you, here's what you do. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. I don't receive that fear because it's coming from the enemy. God wants you to have peace and joy and all the other fruit of the Spirit. He wants you to have abundant life. He doesn't want you to be captured by fear. We overcome fear with the name of Jesus. We overcome fear by trusting in the Good Shepherd. trusting that he's with us. Now, I kind of feel led to say this, that if you don't know the Good Shepherd, you can't be protected by the Good Shepherd. I mean, you can't share something you don't have. You can't have something that you don't possess. So the first step is know the Good Shepherd and understand that he walks with you through these valleys. Jesus, I love this, when Jesus was resurrected and he shows up with the disciples, the first words, peace be with you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus is, they were scared to death. Is it a ghost? I mean, we saw this guy dead 3 days ago. And he's like, don't be afraid. God molds us and matures us and he prepares us through the experience of the valley. Here's another thing I want you to let this sink in. Being a Christian does not exempt you from valley. You don't get a valley exemption by being a Christian. But you get a good shepherd who walks with you through the valley. Shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. So many people think, well, golly, man, I turned my life over to God, and it's like things are just out of control. I'm like, welcome to life. It's what life throws at us sometimes. We don't get a valley exemption, but we get a good shepherd that walks with us through the valley. So since God walks with us, thirdly, we can walk with confidence. We can walk with confidence. When I'd read in the past, your rod and your staff, they come from me. I'd always kind of lump those things together. Rod and staff, the same instrument. It's not. Anyone got any sheep herders in the bunch? You may not want to admit it. Anybody worked with sheep? Okay, man, I can make anything up, can't I? So, if you know more about it, and I learned some of this by Keller's book, is that a rod was different than a staff. The rod was, many times they would take a limb that went down into the ground, and they would pull it out, and there would be a root ball on the end of that limb. And they'd clean up that limb, and they'd clean it all up, and there was this big, heavy kind of ball at the end of the rod, and they would use that instrument for many things. They would use it to protect the flock. If predators came, if that eagle starts swooping down towards your sheep, you give them a whack upside the head with that rod, and I bet that eagle won't. He'll go find somebody else to bother. It was also to correct the flock. If you've got a sheep that's, you know, kind of picking on the little sheep or whatever, you could knock that sheep upside the nose and kind of go, don't do that. Anybody ever needed a rod before? I had one upside my rear end a few times growing up. But you just pop that sheep on the nose. Don't do that anymore. To examine the flock. And I love this imagery that when the sheep's wool gets really big, that there can be wounds and insects and all kinds of things that can be hidden by the wool. And the shepherd would get that rod and run it over the sheep's wool to push it back to examine the sheep, to make sure the sheep was well, make sure the sheep didn't have anything that was hidden. Isn't that very similar to the Word of God? Just think about it. I'm just going to throw some scripture out here that talk about, you know, in 1 Samuel 17, David is also says this before he slays Goliath. Your servant has been keeping your father's sheep. When a lion or bear come and carry off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. So there's this rescuing that he was, David at that time was the shepherd. There's this rescuing of the sheep. 2 Timothy, one of my favorite passages, 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed. Don't you love that? God breathed. It's like God inspired. God has spoken through the inspiration that he's given to men that have written these things down. God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Sounds almost like the shepherd's rod, doesn't it? teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So there's this this teaching, this protecting, this examining, this training that's going on. Now the staff. So that's the rod. The staff was a lighter instrument. And this is what I had always envisioned was, you know the hook, the shepherd's hook. Some of you sometimes when I'm preaching wish you had a long shepherd hook that you could just kind of pull me off the stage. But it was a lighter instrument, and it had its own uses. It was to draw the sheep to the shepherd. One of the things, to draw the sheep to the shepherd for further examination. To draw them to them. To comfort the sheep from danger. And also to guide the sheep. So that's very much, I found it very much like the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 12, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. There's this drawing to us. In 2 Corinthians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He is a comforting God. John 16, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So this guiding, this comforting, this drawing that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I guess as I close today, I just want to say this, that if you don't know the Good Shepherd, man, you're missing a journey. You're missing a blessing, the blessing. The Christian journey is not us trying to be good. I say this all the time because I want you to hear. Anybody that comes to Wiley Methodist Church, I want you to understand this. The Christian life is not our attempts at being good. It's God's goodness given to us. And if you don't understand who he is and how much he loves you, I was speaking with some folks recently that premarital counseling I wasn't sure that they knew the Lord, and I was just trying to share the gospel. The gospel is not us being good. It's Jesus hanging on a cross because he loves us, providing abundant life for us because he loves us. In just a few minutes, we're going to baptize little Kately, and she doesn't understand everything, and guess what? I don't understand everything either. About the full extent of God's love. But she knows she loves Jesus. And she knows he loves her. And she wants her some of that. That's a good starting point, huh, John? Huh, Miller? That's a great place to start. I want, if you would, just, I've got some homework there and you can look in your handout that I've asked you to do. But I want to invite you to bow your head with me just a second. And I'm gonna lead through just a little prayer here. If this is your heart, just kind of say this in your own mind as I read through it. If this is your heart, Lord, I confess that just like a sheep, I've gone astray. I need you. I need you to be my good shepherd. I need you to walk with me through the valley. I confess that too many times I am a victim of fear. Fear of my past or fear of my future. I give you all of my past hurts, my past wounds and sins, and now I surrender my future to you, my good shepherd. Show me what you would have me to do. Show me who you would have me to forgive. I need you in my life and in my heart. come into me, Holy Spirit. Make your home in my heart. Change me from the inside out. Help me to be like you. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, amen. So as our praise team comes up, as we sing this last song, I hope you will stay and celebrate with us as we baptize Kaylee. If perhaps that prayer that we just prayed, perhaps that was the first time you've prayed something like that, I invite you to stay behind and talk to me afterwards. It's important that you share any sort of decision you make with Christ with someone and share it quickly. Because the enemy wants to rob those things from us. So as we stand to close.
Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life,
y'all can be seated. If you want to stand to see, that's okay too, but if you want to sit, that's okay. Can you go around the other side? It's easier to get in, sweetie. You got mom with you? Annalise, is she coming? Okay, can you stand right there, Kaylee, on that big one? There you go. Just go ahead and stand on that for just a second. Okay. Is it okay if I share what you just said?
Sure.
John, Dad was just telling me that he actually got to deliver Kaylee, and so he's going to help her have a new birth as well. He'll be there for both births. And Mom, you had a little bit to do with the first one, right?
Minor detail.
Okay. All right. Kaylee, you've already said that you repent of your sin and that you want Jesus in your heart. And now we're going to baptize you. Are you ready for that? All right. If you'll step down and sit right there and hold your nose. All right, Dad, help me out here. Kaylee, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Say, we're sitting right there. If anybody wants to come up and as I pray for her, come ahead. That water is warm, isn't it, girl? Awesome. If y'all can reach in, Mom, if you can reach in and put a hand on the head or something, and just, if you can't reach her, reach somebody in front of you. All right, we're going to pray. Now, Kaylee, what we talked about is that God, you've invited him into your heart. He wants to come and live inside of your heart. So we're going to pray for that, okay? All right, Lord, I thank you so much for dying on the cross for Kaylee. I thank you that she loves you. And even more important, God, I thank you that you love her. I pray, God, that you fill her with your Holy Spirit. From the top of her head to the tip of her toes, God, that she would just be oozing God. God, and I pray that you would raise her up to be the young lady you have called her to be, your instrument that brings you glory. I pray for this family, God, for John and Miller and just all the kids, God, that you would bless them. And we just love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Go walk out of here in confidence. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed.